The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ in community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. It is always good to have family and friends to be back together. Today, I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles and open up to Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103. If you haven't been with us, we've been in the Psalms all summer. We have been jumping around the Psalms, jumping left and right, up and down, and having a lot of fun with it. And we got a couple more to go. We got a couple more Psalms to go. We're going to be in Psalm 127 and 139. We're going to end off our summer in the Psalms. And then just so you know, if you haven't heard already, we're going to be picking up in 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians this fall. If you're not familiar with it, I'm going to tell you, go read it. Because you think we're messy now. They were messy back then. And I want you to see how messy it can be. Really what God can do through his church when he works through all of it. And so I'm just going to invite you to be a part of that. But today we are in Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103. And as we've been walking through the Psalms this summer, we've seen that God uses people during each season of their life. He uses us through every season of our life. And some guys will, you know, if you're older in your life, you're ready to sit back and relax and let God do what he does. If you're younger in your life, you're just kind of pining and ready for God to do the next thing. And you find all over the place that whatever season in life that you're in, God will meet you right where you are. He will meet you right where you are. Matter of fact, if you've seen the Old Testament, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you'll see Abraham and his descendants. God brings them together to make a special nation. And he gave them a king, and he said, hey, I'm going to give you the king. And eventually, the guy named David comes out, and he's a man after God's own heart. David is a great leader. Honestly, he's a great leader. He's well-loved by the nation of Israel. And David is an artist. He's a musician. He wrote ballads and songs for Israel. He did all kinds of amazing things, honestly. We've really focused a lot on David this summer. And they're compiled together a songbook called the Psalms of all of David's writings, man. I mean, the man was a songwriter, a singer-songwriter. And last week we saw how much he deals with prayer and what that means for you and I. And how we can use that to move forward. But today, David's going to talk to us and teach us about worship. Because there's so many, a variety of topics that you can worry about. But worship is a big one. And honestly, there's a whole range of emotions that David expresses all throughout the Psalms. He talks about anger. And man, when he talks about anger, he talks about real anger. David, sometimes you talk to him, you're like, oh, hey, I feel uncomfortable with this. But if you've read the Bible, you know that David's a real one. And that's what I appreciate about him. He talks about anger and frustration. But then he also talks about joy. He says, hey, this is amazing what God's doing. He also, and I love this, he also deals with questioning. He wants to know, hey, God, is this okay? Matter of fact, wherever you are, whatever you're feeling, however you have walked in the door today, God has dealt with your feelings in the book of Psalms. No matter where you are, God has dealt with them. And really, the purpose of the Psalms is not to teach us intellectually great truths, but to hit you emotionally to help you to express those truths. He doesn't want to teach you something extra, extra deep. The rest of the Bible takes care of that. He wants you to teach you how to express those things. How do you express frustration and anger properly? How do you express joy properly? How do you express happiness properly? How do we do these things? Because I think, and if you look at our society, we have not learned how to live out our emotions well. As a matter of fact, a lot of times our emotions rule us. They rule everything you do. And that's the problem many of us have, is that we either come from like a staunch stoic background where you don't smile, you don't laugh, you don't say anything, you're just kind of, here we are, you know. I come from that in a lot of ways. I remember one of the first times I ever saw my father cry. Was at my mom's funeral. You don't see that. And a lot of us come from those kind of backgrounds. And sometimes we come from the overly emotional background. And the overly emotional background is, my emotions rule everything I do. I feel like I should wear blue today. Who cares? But, it's everything. You know those people you talk to, and it's feel, 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 feel. And I feel like I should do this. And those feelings will drive them off a cliff. And somewhere in between feelings ruling everything I do and feelings never coming up in anything I do is where the Bible sits. And the Psalms are made to direct you through those emotions, to go, hey, here's how you deal with it. Here's how you walk through it. And here's why David is, I think David is, God used David, because David made every mistake you made, and probably some that hopefully you will never make, including murder and adultery, right? He does all of those in order to show you how to properly express joy and frustration and anger and live out these things. It's hard. Because we live in a society that tells you either you should be ruled by it or you shouldn't be. Men, you shouldn't cry. Real men don't cry. Well, yeah, we do. But on the other hand, well, if you feel it, then that's what you are. If you feel like a cat, you are one. No, you are not a cat. You are a human being. Whatever you feel like you are, you are. No, no, no. I don't care what you feel you are. God has created you to be something. And sometimes you have to learn how it looks like. But that's never what God intended us to be like. He didn't intend us to be one or the other. He intended us to be balanced and emotional beings. So when we come to Scripture, we learn how to laugh. We learn how to cry. We learn how to clap. We learn how to praise. And the Psalms lead us to those emotions. So today I want to look at the Psalm of Praise. I want to look at the Psalm of Praise. I want you to know how to praise. And throughout the Psalms, we see the idea that we need to give God praise over and over and over and over. You hear that all the time. Matter of fact, everybody say the word, say hallelujah. Say it one more time. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That word is literally a directive. It's not, hey, we're going to praise God. Like we use it as, hey, praise God. No, no. The word hallelujah literally means you will praise God. You will praise God. It's a directive. It's not even asking a question like, hey, you up for it today? Do you feel like praising God? No, no, no. It's telling you what you're going to do. Which I love, because we yell that and you're like, hallelujah. And I'm like, you sure? You sure? I even heard a song on the radio one time talking about a broken hallelujah. I was like, what is a broken hallelujah? But I if you've ever seen me, and I do this in worship sometimes, I do this in venues, I freak pastors out when I do this, but if I don't know the song, I just stare at the screen and I read the words. And part of the reason I do it is because the song's like that, broken hallelujah. Because I'm like, what is a broken hallelujah? You can't have a broken directive to praise God. That doesn't work. Either you praise them or you don't, right? And so there's a song on Christian radio that's really, really popular about broken hallelujah, and I'm just like, no, not going to sing that one. So if you ever see me just staring at something, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out, is this theological or not? And a lot of times, we don't even know the essence of what God is trying to talk about. But this morning, I want to look at what it means to have an hallelujah on our lips. It's Psalm chapter 103. Turn there already. And what you find, I want you to stand in the honor of reading of God's word. We're going to read all 22 verses. Psalm chapter 103. And the word says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like an eagle, like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to his sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, for as great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. For as a man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and is gone. And the place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to the children's children. And those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O his angels. You mighty one, do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all of his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. If I were to have a thought today, I would put it in one sentence. It'd be this: no matter what life throws at us, there's always a reason to praise God. No matter what life throws at you, there's always a reason to praise God. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you give us a praise on our lips, that you give us the opportunity to love you and follow you and praise you completely. Jesus, I just ask right now that you help us to be a people of praise, to not be ruled by our emotions, but not stuff the thing that you've given us so far away from us that it never comes and affects us. But Jesus, to be balanced like you were, to walk like you were, to be emotional beings that love you completely. We praise you, Jesus, and we thank you for all that you would give us. We thank you that you would bless us in this way, even with this aspect of who we are. Father, shape us now and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone who agrees would say, amen. Have a seat. Thank you so much. This is a psalm of praise. This is a psalm of praise. And it starts the reminder. It starts with a reminder. It says, the first thing it says, praise the Lord. Or I like the King James and the ESV. It says, bless the Lord. This is bless the Lord. And by the way, just real quick, so many times we use blessing the wrong way. There's another one that I hear all the time where people say, oh, well, Johnny fell down and broke his leg, so bless his heart, right? Because, you know, we're at the beginning of the South, so bless his heart is either like a pejorative towards somebody, like, oh, she's a little slow, bless her heart, right? It's that, or somebody got hurt, so like, bless their heart. But that's not really what blessing means, right? It's not, blessing literally means, the idea of blessing really is the bending of the knee. Every knee shall bow. That's a blessing. The idea of blessing is the bending of a knee. So how can a human being, how can you or I bless God? We surely don't give God a blessing. That's what I thought when I was a kid. Be like, bless the Lord. I'm like, I'm going to bless you, God, right? Like, it's not that. How do you bless God? Well, you bless God. You bless God because he blesses us, but we praise him. That's the blessing of God, is that we bend our knees before him to praise him. That we literally put ourselves in prostrate before him. We magnify him. We proclaim his greatness. And this psalm is a psalm of praise, reminding us that we have to be actively engaged in praising God. Let me say that again. You have to be actively engaged in praising God. And this morning, I just want to give you four quick lessons on how you can be actively engaged in worshiping God. And I feel like using a lot of P's today. So that's what we're going to do. So we want you to write these down if you're taking notes. If not, you can remember them because they all start with P just for fun. The first one is this. Praise is personal. Praise is personal. I found out the thesaurus. Praise is very personal. In a corporate society where we come to worship, we worship as a congregation. We sing together as a congregation, which is great. I love to hear y'all sing. And when you come to church and we sing together, it's always good. And the song is sung and God's word is read and we feel like we as individuals have praised God because you're present in the crowd. But that's not the idea that's ever brought out in Scripture. Like ever. It's not the idea that's brought out in Scripture that you as an individual have praised God because you've been in a crowd. You see, there's corporate things we do as a congregation. We break the bread. We take the juice. We praise the God. But there's always personal aspects as well. You see, this morning when you leave this area, when you leave the sanctuary, you'll have to question whether or not you've just corporately praised God or have you personally praised God. Have you personally praised God? David starts off the psalm. He starts off in verse 1. Bless the Lord, or praise the Lord, depending on your translation, O my soul. His praise is personal. It's not worried about everybody else. His praise is personal. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Not our soul or your soul, my soul. His praise is so personal that he comes in, he says, listen, I need to bless the Lord with my soul. You see, we find ourselves a lot like the Pharisees in the New Testament. They're very strict on scripted prayers. We know how to do that. And by the time we get done with the prayers, it's almost like God did us a favor, right? Be like, hey, God, thank you for waking me up. And, you know, it's really good. And then you remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? The Pharisee gets up and he prays a beautiful prayer. The tax collector gets up there, stands before God, beats his chest. He just beats his chest. And in humility, he says, God, be merciful on me, a sinner. Jesus looks at that prayer and says, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. A lot of times we want to do the Lord's Prayer, you know, and we want to say all kinds of stuff like that, and we want to just do a scripted prayer. And you guys have done it. I've done it too. We have that prayer where we say the right words. We pray in our hushed tones, or maybe we even have a prayer voice. Okay, I'll get off your toes for a second, but you know, you're talking about where, you know, I had a student one time tell me, you don't even have a preacher voice. You just sound like you. Well, there shouldn't be a difference between you and who you are when you're before God. You are just you. But there's so many times we want to use a special voice or use special words, and all our $10 words come out when we pray. God, we want to sanctify and worship and exemplify, and you know, you're like, hey, just who is he? God, be gracious on me, a sinner. Are you broken before God? Or are we trying to impress him? By the way, you're trying to impress somebody who knows you completely. It's like trying to impress your parents. You never do. They know who you are. They saw you when you were butt booty naked when you were younger. They know exactly who you are. They know everything about you. They're never impressed by you. They're looking at you like, yeah, I knew you could do that. Congrats, right? God is not impressed by our prayers because we found a thesaurus and used every word that was $10 and up. He wants you. God, be gracious on me. A sinner. I don't need, like, I always love, and I remember the first time I was a young Christian, I was sitting in a Bible study, and somebody goes, I need a prayer request for traveling mercies. Okay? And I remember asking this question. Forgive me, I was young and stupid. But I remember asking this question, what are traveling mercies? Like, what in the Christianese is going on here, right? Like, this is a whole different language that's going on, traveling mercies. Help a brother out. And do I need mercies to travel from place to place? Do I need mercies to get home? You know, because, I mean, home's about 15 minutes from here. Do I need mercies for that? Should I be praying this every day? Do I get in the car and go traveling mercies? Like, what does it work? How does this work, this traveling mercies? Because we don't talk like that in real life, do we? So, hey, you going on vacation? Hey, some traveling mercies, bro. Hope you got the traveling mercies. Right? Like, do we really do that? If you do, stop. It's weird, right? Or maybe next time I go to the airport, you can pray traveling mercies on me that we don't get delayed again. I don't know. But we use these old Christianese words instead of just coming to God and going, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I'm broken, God. I have nothing to offer you. That's who he wants. That's who Jesus looked at and said, I'll take that prayer. Not the one of the Pharisees who had all the words. Not the one of the Sadducees who had everything together. Not the one of the religious person that knew everything to say to impress everybody around him, because your prayer is not for everybody around you. It's for God himself. So have mercy on me. Oh, my soul. Praise is not what you do in your heads. It's what you feel in your heart and the way that you praise him completely. It is a personal act. And David understood that. It's an internal issue. It's a heart and soul issue. It's not whether you sing hymns or sing the chorus. It's not even if you can sing, because some of y'all can't sing, and that is okay. It's whether or not you are, from your heart of hearts, praising God completely. It is a personal issue. Can you use that? It's not whether or not you stand or sit. I always love that. I was at a church one time, and when my kids were little, and they used to put them up on the pews, and people would, Pastor, you shouldn't put your kids up on the pews like that. They shouldn't stand on the pews. Well, they can't see. That's why they're on the pews. Looking at somebody's backside, I'd rather them up in the pews so they can actually see some words, right? But it's not whether you stand or you sit, or it's not whether or not your hands are up or your hands are down or whatever. Like, we like to judge everybody else's praise instead of praising God. Praise is personal. It's a response of the heart that is grateful to God. It is extremely personal. But if you're taking notes, keep writing this down. The second one is praise is passionate. Praise is passionate. Praise is so passionate. David continues on. He goes back. Go back to verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Not just some are within me. Because some of us come to worship and we go, hey, God, I didn't sleep well last night. Them thunderstorms had me up again, and I was kind of worried about the kids and this, that, and the third. Hey, I'm going to give you like 2/3. No. He says, with all that's in me, he's referring to an undivided heart. Praise comes from the heart, but it comes from the heart that is set firmly on God. That's where your heart is set, so firmly on God. You can't be holding sin in your heart and praising God at the same time. Say that again. You can't be holding sin in your heart and praising God at the same time. Now, you probably heard me say, you can't be sinning and praising God. It's not what I said. I said, you can't be holding sin. It's the posture of the sin in your life. Are you grasping and holding on to sin and holding on to God? I told a young man this week, and he got real quiet on the other end of the phone. It was kind of fun. But we were talking, and I said, how's your Bible reading going? And how's it? He goes, man, I just feel so far from God. I said, you got to dig into God's Word. He goes, I'm trying to dig into God's Word. And he goes, I'm just really struggling with it. And I said, can I ask you a question? This is just an honest question. He goes, yeah. I said, what is on the incognito settings of your phone? Because I find it interesting that you're trying to read the Bible on the same device that you're doing sin on. I find it very interesting that you're trying to do both on the same thing, and you're holding on to one, and then you're holding on to the other, and you're wondering why you're not finding fruitfulness in this one over here. God says, hey, I don't need you to hold on to sin. I need you to let it go. I need you to praise me and be passionate about it. You can't be cheating on your spouse and praising God. It doesn't work. You can't be singing all the words about this and then reading some prayer Billy Graham wrote. And matter of fact, he wrote it himself. He said, it's not praise to God if your heart is not in it. It's not praise to God if your heart is not in it. James 3 reminds us this. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and it will. But also we will curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Which one are we choosing? Out of the same mouth of praise comes filthy cursing. Family, this should not be. This should not be you or me. We can't be both fresh and salt water at the same time. You just can't be. But here's the thing. Fresh and salt water don't flow from the same spring. But yet some of us are out here spitting a bunch of salt water going, yeah, it's fresh, it's fresh. It's not. A fig tree doesn't bear olives. A fig tree doesn't bear apples or oranges. It doesn't bear anything but figs. What kind of fruit are you putting out? You see, God wants you to have a heart that's right with him. It doesn't want our sacrifices, our offerings, until he has your heart. Let me say it again. He doesn't want your sacrifices or your offerings until he has your heart. Does he have your heart? David reminds us in Psalm 51, O Lord, he says, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in the sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Oh, God will not despise. You will not despise. 1 Samuel says this, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. He doesn't want your sacrifices. He wants your obedience. He wants your heart. Obedience is the act of the heart. That's when you start to follow. When you in your heart says, okay, I want to do it right. I want to follow God. That's when you start to follow. And if we're going to praise God, it starts right here. Oh, God, forgive me a sinner. That's the point. It doesn't try to praise God. It doesn't try to praise God while you're trying to hide from God. That's not what it is. It says, I want you completely. Because to praise God, as we've said already, is to bow the knee. Is to bow the knee and acknowledge that God is over you. Is acknowledge that God is over us. And if that's true, then truly praise God. That's what you need to do. Let me ask real quickly. This morning, are you passionate about praising God? Or do you simply show up because it's Sunday morning? Are you passionate about praising God, or do you simply show up because it's Sunday morning? God wants worshipers who come with a whole heart prepared to praise him. Number three, if you're writing this down, and we're only to verse 2. I got a lot more to go. It's this. Praise is purposeful. Praise is purposeful. Found the piece today. Praise is purposeful. Verse 2 goes on. It says this. Bless the Lord. I notice he says it in verse 1 and 2. Just, he's trying to get something across to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Sometimes we forget that there's a reason we praise God. Sometimes we forget there's a reason we praise God. We do it out of routine. We do it out of ritual. We do it because your mama said so, because that's what you've always done. And listen, if those are the reasons we're doing it, then we're no different than the pagans, because they do it that way too. They know how to do it out of routine, in ritual. They know how to show up at the right time, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. They know how to do all those stuff. Everybody. You ever gone into a situation where everybody's doing something and you have no idea what's going on? Like I did that. I got put in a Roman Catholic summer school back when I was younger. You can probably guess how that went. And I remember going into chapel. They told me, you have to go in the chapel. And I'm like, why? And they're like, because we all go to chapel. And I'm like, why? It was bad. Now I have a child that asks that question all the time. So I walked in the chapel, and everybody was doing their thing. And if you've ever been to a Roman Catholic, like, this is Roman Catholic Latin Mass, whole nine yards. And the guys come in, and they got the incense. And I'm going, what is going on? And then everybody stands up. And I don't know why they're standing, so I stand up. And then I'm standing there, and they're all singing, hallelujah. And then they all sit down. And I'm like, right? Like, you don't know when to sit down. And then everybody's on their knees all of a sudden. I'm like, why are we on our knees? Like, I'm just confused because everybody knows what to do, when to do it. But there's nothing here. There's nothing here. You're just going through the motions. You stand up. You get the motion. You get the thing. You see the guy come by. Right? We do the thing before we sit down. We kneel. Get the water. Like, you know how to do all. We all know how to say, Hail Mary, full of grace. Lord is with thee. Blessed. I had to say it 1,000 times. You know how to do all those things, but you don't know what it's for. It's purposeful. That's what praise is. Praise is purposeful. It should come from something. How often do you just read the Bible to check off a list? Sorry, let me back up. How often do you read the Bible? Let me start there. Then how often do you read the Bible just to check off a list? Can't tell you the number of people I talk to who go, well, I read the Bible every single day. For what? Nobody likes that question. But for what? Why are you reading the Bible? You see, the purpose should be, and don't just get this answer and run with it now, but the answer should be to get closer to the one who wrote it, to hear the voice of my Savior, to learn more about the Father who loves me so well. How often do we just read it or pray a prayer because we're supposed to pray it, but we can't even remember what we prayed about? We're just like, Jesus, you know, do your thing. Hopefully you don't pray like that, but you know, just praying to pray. You see, David here makes a very interesting connection. He says, praise is tied to remembrance. Praise is tied to remembrance. When we forget what God has done, you won't praise God the same way. Praise is tied to remembrance. Where did you come from? What has God brought you out of? What has he brought you from? What has he saved you from? God has done something for you. And he's done some amazing things for you. And maybe you were born in a church on the altar and you got saved that day and your first word was Jesus. And God bless you. You're really holy. But like for the rest of us, heathens, what did God save you from? What has he brought you through? You see, that's the purpose you praise him for. That's the reason you praise him. That God saved you from something. I'm reminded every single time my daughter looks at me and goes, Daddy, your childhood wasn't normal. That I remember, man, that's what God saved me from. That I should be out here running the streets and acting a fool right now, but instead God has saved me for something. That he's using me for his glory. Every single time I see something happening where I'm in a situation where I probably should be uncomfortable, but I'm not, I'm reminded again and again how much God has saved me from and what he saved me to, and that makes me want to praise him more. I see the depth of my sin even deeper, and I see the heights of his holiness even more, and when I see that separation, I go, my God, because the cross goes across it all. That's my purpose for praise. What's yours? What has he saved you from? What has he placed in your life and put around you? These benefits that God gives you are things that we need to remember and hold on to, latch on to, because that is everything. That is everything. God wants to pray; it wants you to praise him. And David says, he goes on, he says this, forget not all of God's benefits. Forget not all of God's benefits. Sometimes we lead foolish thinking by influence of the world. We get this idea that you give up. I always love this. People go, man, I gave up so much to be a Christian. Okay, here's what you did. You gave up a combination of Jack and Squat. You didn't give up anything. I mean, and I love when people list it. I had a guy, man, I gave up, man. I can't go out and get drunk and you know, hang out until the next morning. Pause. So you're telling me that you went out and drank liquid curds so you can do stupid things that now can be recorded and immortalized. You know, back in my day, we didn't record none. But now it's all recorded and immortalized forever and ever. Amen. Right? And then you wake up in the morning with a headache that makes you want to stab yourself, and you're taking everything you can or drinking more alcohol to continue on, and that's what you're complaining God saved you from? You sound like the Egyptians, or you sound like the Israelites came out of Egypt. God, I want to go back. We had garlics and leek. You were in slavery. You remember that part? Remember they were whooping you all behind? Remember when they took away the hay and you told you still had to make bricks? Remember that? Do you remember the hardships that you had to do in the hot Egyptian sun day in and day out, and God saved you from? But we had bread. Well, they made a good soup in Auschwitz too. Do you want to go back there? No. This is insane, but we do this constantly. Where we go, God, this was so good. Oh, man, it was better over here. No. No. You know, just because you don't get to be deceitful anymore or play Russian roulette venereal diseases anymore doesn't mean that God has taken something away from you. As a matter of fact, he's given you everything. He's given you so much. He's given you heaven. He's given you him. And the fact that we take that for granted is something that blows my mind. That you have God. Like, when you get saved, you get God. That's what you get. And so many times we want to look at it and go, but I don't. You get God. The one who created and spoke everything into existence. You get him. And the truth is, the benefits of following God are far beyond anything you can prepare. Anything you can prepare. Our retirement benefits are out of this world. Literally. So the truth is that you're giving nothing but hell. That's what you're giving up, is hell. You're giving up nothing at all, and the benefits are beyond belief. But if I'm right, and I am, and you're wrong, and you are, then when you stand before God one day, you'll stand with no excuses. And if you stand without Jesus, you've lost everything. You stand without Jesus, you've lost everything. So you praise for a purpose because he's given you so many benefits. We deserve nothing but hell, but in his grace, he gives us all kinds of blessings. And he loves you. And what an amazing thing that is. And finally, if you're taking notes, write this down. Praise is practical. Praise is practical. So often we get this idea that we need to use all the general terms like, God, bless our church, bless the ministries, and bless the sick people. And it's in some ways, yes, God can do that. Yes, he can. But I don't think it's the best way to pray. I honestly don't. I don't think it's the best way just to be like, hey, bless, 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 bless. I also don't like the gimme prayers. You guys know what I'm talking about? God, gimme, 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 gimme. Because he's not a lottery machine, right? So it's somewhere in between the two, between bless, 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 and gimme, gimme, gimme. Because he can do that. But God desires not a formula out of you or saying certain phrases. He desires your heart. Again, this is a heart issue. Over and over, it goes back to here. He wants you to verbalize how you really feel. The way I like to put it is, God is a big boy. He can take your stress and your pain and your hurt. So how do you really feel? And by the way, if you think he can't take it, read the Psalms. He says it all the time. David's out here like, yo, break their teeth and kick him in the junk. And you're like, hey, whoa, David. Then the next day, he's like, but praise God. You're like, all right. I felt that way the other day, too. I get you, David. Okay. I want to fight people, too. But here's the thing. If you come home from work, you pick up the paper, if you still do that, maybe you don't, pick up your iPad, turn on TV, and you say all the right words to your significant other, is it going to go well? No. I mean, for a while it will, until they eventually start looking at you and going, are you a robot or are you the person I love? Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Oh, everything's fine. Yes, I agree to everything. No, that's not the way it works. That's not the way a relationship works. Eventually they're going to start looking at you and going, you're acting real different right now. What's going on? Why? It's not real. It's not from the heart. You see, when we give God praises, he wants you to praise him from the heart. He wants you to be practical. How do you feel? What is going on? It's practical and it's specific. God wants you to be specific in giving him praise. Remember, you remember what he came up from, and then you're practically telling, hey, God, this is what I'm praising you for. He praises God, David does in this passage, for forgiveness. He never failed to remember that David deserved hell, yet he praises God, and he remembers that God has forgiven him. He praises God for healing. So sometimes he allows you and I, his children, to suffer in sickness to bring glory to his name. Say that again, because some of y'all don't like that, so let's just get that in there. Sometimes he'll allow you to suffer in sickness as his child to bring glory to his name. You don't believe me? Read about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul suffered in sickness. He had an ailment. He had things that bothered him. But what happened? He brought glory to his name, for example, because he said, hey, I want you to look to me as your healer. I'm still that good. David praises God for his steadfast love. Matter of fact, in verse 8, He says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He praises God for his compassion. David's Psalms are filled with very specific examples of praise to God for who he is, for what he's done. And today, when you come to worship, when you come to worship again, I'm going to say, why don't you bless God by bowing your knees? Why don't you bless God by remembering what he's done? Why don't you bless God by personally telling him what he's done for you? Why don't you bless God because he's an audience of one? Stop looking around and worrying what everybody else is saying or thinking or hearing. But you bless God because he is who he is. And let's personally give him praise and passionately give him praise and purposely give him praise and practically express your praise to a God who loves you. Now, for some of us, this doesn't make sense. For some of us, we're sitting back and going, why would I give praise to a God who's done all these things for me? Because I don't know if he has. And maybe your first step is just receiving Christ. Just coming to Christ and going, hey, God, I just want to get to know you. I just want to talk to you. I just want to have a conversation with you. Some of us have never actually taken that first step of receiving Christ and coming into his temple to actually know how to praise him. And so we're not even a Pharisee, a Sadducee, or even the tax collector. We're just on the outside of the temple looking in going, y'all weird. And that's okay. This is a good place to be. But take the next step to move forward with Christ. Know that he's died for you, that he died on the cross for you, that he poured his life's blood out so it would cover you and I, so that you could stand before the Father one day and be able to praise him for eternity. So when you get to heaven one day because you have believed on Jesus and followed on him and loved him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and let his blood cover you, then when you stand before the Father, you'll be righteous because of his blood. Let that be your testimony today. Let this be the first day that you praise him completely. And let the world see a you that chooses to praise God and put him first over everything else. But believer, for you, let me challenge you. Praise God completely. Even when it's hard, praise him. Even when it's not convenient, praise him. Make it personal. Make it practical. Make it purposeful, but praise him. Praise him today. Express your joy before him and let him be the one that saves you. David gives us a good example of what it looks like to use your emotions to praise God. And I pray you begin to use those today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you would have us to know how to pray and what it looks like to praise you completely, to worship you completely. Father, so many times, especially in this society, we mess worship up and we don't know what it actually looks like to worship you. We get confused because we think worship is everything else but what it actually is. And so, Jesus, we ask right now that you help us to have proper examples of what it means to worship you, to love you, to follow you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus, today, for those that do not know you, help them to come to a saving knowledge of who you are, to take that first step towards you and to love you. But Father, for those of us that do know you, help us to learn to praise you, even when it's difficult, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's not fun. Thank you, Jesus, that you would give us these opportunities. Thank you that you give us another opportunity to praise you. And Father, forgive me, for I am a broken sinner, with nothing to offer, everything to gain, and your praise on my lips. Use us now for the rest of the day to bring you glory and honor. In your name we pray. All God's people would say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.